honestly really enjoyed service this morning. Yeah, it was awesome. Bam! You know, it's something we have to constantly be on our guard, constantly be looking for what's going on around us, because it's amazing. It is totally amazing what God can do if we'll just hold on to what He's doing. All right, we're going to do something different tonight. I'm standing over here. I'm going to work it off. Amen. And we're not really going to have a whole lot up there, but it's going to be something up there. How about that? Something, because I want you to see it. I want you to think about it. I want you to be able to digest it. Amen. Well, bam. Bam. There it went, bam. All right. Yeah, we really got going on now. This is something else. Here we go. That's not a horse. I'm always preaching in all different parts of the armor of God, and this one here really hit me hard today, so I'm going to share something with y'all. I want y'all all to think about. I want to leave you something to think about. How about that? Something to think about. Amen. You got your Bibles? Say amen. You do. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're only going to talk about one part of the armor. Like I said, we're always talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema word. We're talking all about the shield of faith, a lot about that. And a lot of times, I notice myself, I'm even guilty. Many times while we're talking, I talk about the helmet of salvation. At times, I just tend to just throw something out there and keep on going. So tonight, we're going to dedicate the entire service to the helmet of salvation. And it's not just about the helmet, but what it does. Amen? You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, oh me. All right, verse 17. We'll go ahead and talk about them all, but just read it, but then we're going to go into that. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. It's been pretty cool the last couple of services being down here, so no telling where we're going to be at. It's going to be trying to shake things up a little bit. Don't get so bored with how things are. Amen. Shake it up. And we keep on. We're going to find something that really, really works. And maybe just going up and down will be something that really, really works. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles actually is talking about his strategies. Do y'all know that he's got a strategy for this church? He's got a strategy for your family. He's got a strategy for every member of your family. And he's got a strategy just for you. Anytime you think at all that you're not important and people don't notice you, there's two people that's noticing you very strongly. One is God. Okay, he loves you so much he gave his son. And he wants to guide and protect. But number two, the person that's watching you more than you ever imagined and trying to figure out how to get to you is Satan. He's got his imps assigned to you and they're watching. And sometimes you say, Satan, sometimes I think you figured out my next move. Well, sometimes we're so predictable. You know, so we got ourselves have to be unpredictable to him and let God lead us. So put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God. Here it is again. The whole armor of God. He says, I don't want you to pick. I don't want you to choose. I like this one better than this. Take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having a breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, see how it's just short there, and take the helmet of salvation. That kind of sounds kind of like there's not a whole lot to that when you're talking about take the sword of the Spirit and take the shield of faith where you can quench the fiery darts. Oh, by the way, don't forget your helmet. Sometimes we would think we lose the importance of this helmet. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. The helmet of salvation. Amen. It is a vital, important part. And I'm going to show you this helmet right here is the helmet of a centurion or some leader in the military, because most guys did not have the horsehairs. They have this hat, but they don't have the horsehairs. The horsehairs lets you know that he is a commander. He is a legionnaire. Follow him in the battle. Follow his orders. It's like having the stuff on your side, insignias and stuff. But then when you see that, you know that's an officer. And depending on what he's got, he could be a general. But you see that, know that he is one of the guys to follow. But here's what I want you to see. This helmet is made of brass and or iron. And this is an awesome thing because back in this day, most of the time, there was hand-to-hand combat. That was the major thing. And the helmet worn by the Roman soldiers was made of metal, and it's designed to protect, watch this now, not just the head. It's designed to protect the head, the face, the neck, without blocking vision. So this is a heavy-duty thing here. You're going to need this when you're in battle. A lot of times, we'll find out when I'm doing counseling with people, I find people going through problems. Usually, one of the first places that Satan has penetrated or Satan has come against people is they don't have on their helmet. And he comes in there and he ruins their thinking. He comes in and gets them to do it all on their own way. Now, remember, there's a reason why I blocked your head or protected your head, your face, and your neck. Again, centurions and other officers wore crests on their helmets so that the men could see them and follow them into battle. Now, I'm getting ready to tell you something else about this. But see, this helmet was important because the helmet of salvation, our helmet of salvation, just what I'm getting ready to tell you about for the army, will maintain total confidence in victory. Because here, watch this. Most guys, it was hand-to-hand combat. And so there was all kinds of clubs and there was all kinds of stuff swinging in the air. A lot of times men were not killed by the one-on-one with somebody else. They were killed by collateral damage of somebody else swinging a sword or swinging all those devices that they had. And the person wind up getting hit in the back of the head or wrap around his neck or even get hit in the jaw. And so, again, you're facing one man trying to fight him and you got all this going on around you and you have to be protected. What this does is it protects your neck, see? It protects your neck, it protects your jaw, it protects your face, it protects your head. The battle axes could pierce a skull. If a man got hit with a battle axe, it literally could split his head in half. And so you wear this into the battle. Now what's this got to do with us? I mean, what has this got to do with us in battle this day and time? Watch this. It's there to protect our thoughts, the helmet of salvation, is there to protect our thoughts and protect how we speak our thoughts. Wow, i.e. our testimony. It's there to protect our thoughts. It's there to protect how we can relay our thoughts. Remember, back of the neck, the head, the face, the jaws, it's there. So your mouth will stay able to keep moving. You'll be able to see what's going on. You'll be able to keep going into battle, and you'll be protected against all those blows to the head. Do you know, I believe more than anything, you know, now they're talking, people are, one, this guy was making multi-million dollars in football just about a month ago, maybe just a couple weeks ago. He quit because he said he's had more than one concussion. And so he says, I'm not going to go back and play next year. He quit. Man making like I don't know, $20 million a year, quits. Because he said it's not worth him getting all these concussions. And then later being disabled because of it. We hear about it a lot in schools now. They're even talking about taking football out of the smaller schools and the smaller grades because of the danger of concussions. And people just getting multiple head injuries, getting hit. Because once they keep getting hit. DC got hit twice in 1 year, and I really didn't know the danger of the concussion at the time. DC got hit twice 1 year in his senior year. He got hit first. He was playing, I think the first one was from volleyball, and he got hit, I think it was right here, and he got hit with the ball and with the guy's fist. He come down over the net, and he just hit, I mean, he just boloed DC. DC went out, got back up, and he was wobbly, and they said, well, you have a concussion. You need to sit out for a while. He gets back in later playing volleyball. Then he decides he's going to play soccer. I was watching him play soccer on the field. He's running from one side. The guy's running from the other side. They literally both jump for the ball at the same time, and in the air, their heads collide. They both fall to the ground. I have never seen what I saw after that. DC went to the doctor. They said, I want you to put your head up like this, and I want you to touch your nose. He couldn't do it. He said, I want you to walk backwards like this. He couldn't do it. The boy could not drive his car for almost 3 months. It was bad. And so I see the danger of that concussion. Well, I also see the danger. There's a lot of people in the Christian world that they've been hit so hard in their thoughts and in their head by Satan that they're off balance. They can't hold their own. They can't even maneuver anymore because they've been hit over and over and over and over again. They've got these spiritual concussions going on. I've had a spiritual concussion before. It doesn't feel good. You've been hit so hard. What you thought was supposed to happen didn't happen. And it wasn't some little minor thing. It's major. And it really takes you down, takes you out. And so it's important that we understand we need to guard against spiritual concussions. We need to guard against the battle axe hitting us in the head and even splitting our spiritual skull. So here it is. We got to remember, if we put on the armor of God, we cannot be ultimately defeated. Once we've got God's armor on and we've got God's spirit protecting us, we cannot be ultimately defeated. But one of the most important things is, especially as you see in this day and time, with all these problems with concussions, is we've got to guard against spiritual concussions. Guard against spiritual blows to the head, which are definitely deadly. All right, so what I'm going to do is, I've only got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 scriptures. I'm going to give these 10 scriptures to you. I'm going to tell you something about it. If one of y'all want to say something about it, that'll be fine too. But here it goes. And it's a confession that you say to yourself all the time. The Bible tells us, that Joshua, he told Joshua to meditate, told him to meditate on my word day and night. There you will have good success. You will prosper at what you do. What's he saying? By meditate, that word meditate means to confess under your breath to yourself. Whether you believe it or not, everybody in here talks to themselves. Amen? We all talk to ourselves. How many said just this last week, that was stupid? How many said, is that the best you can do, son? Have you talked that kind of stuff to yourself? Well, I wish I could do better. Or God, do you just think I'm your stepson? We get talking to ourselves, and what we're doing is we don't even realize it. We're giving our own self a spiritual concussion. We are continually hitting blows against our testimony and what we believe in God. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, you'll be off balance. You won't even be able to move around. You'll lose your dexterity because you've been believing the lies of Satan, his devices. He'll use you. He'll use you to destroy you. Wow. It's one thing for him to use my wife or my kids or one of y'all or some friends down the road, but most of the time that spiritual concussion comes from your own self. Wow. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this. When I say confess, it's actually to meditate. I want you to think about it as, this is what I need to be saying under my breath, instead of saying, that was stupid. Or, I don't think I'll ever be able to get this right. Or, I don't think I'll ever amount to anything. Or God must have been joking when he called me to be a Christian. Instead of talking that junk, here's what you need to be talking. Here's a good one. One of my favorites. And I'll go ahead and read the whole thing. I really like this thing. Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, or let us not get tired of doing what's right. How many here has done right and done right and done right, and you still wind up on the long end of the stick, and sometimes you say, I'm just getting tired of doing right? That's right. I'm getting tired of it. I just think right now is a good chance for me just to lay down and go to sleep. I don't need to get up and help them because I know they're not going to appreciate it. And if I go help them, it's just going to wear me out, and they're not even going to appreciate it. And next week, they won't even know I was there. How many's ever felt like that? Okay? The Bible says, don't grow weary. That word weary literally means not just tired, but it means that you are physically, mentally, emotionally drained by doing what is right. Trying to help somebody. Trying to do what you know you're supposed to be doing. So, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not lose heart and grow weary, faint, and acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint, or if we don't quit. Now, remember, I've said it to myself a many times. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in doing what is right. Don't grow weary in getting it what the way it's supposed to be. You know, I don't like talking about me, but I'm going to talk about me for just a minute from yesterday. Because yesterday, by 12 o'clock, that's like, I wasn't weary as in wanting to quit. I was just tired. But I go to Greenville to watch my Sierra, play softball. And then I'm going to go to an Emmaus event. I'm going to Farmville. But before I get there, I get a call about something going on with somebody else. And so I'm already there at Farmville. So I stop at the hospital. The church where I'm supposed to be at, they sent me an email and told me the time had changed. So I was perfect on time. The problem was nobody was there. So I called up the head man and said, where y'all at? He said, David, you got the time right, because it was 2, now I'm here. It's a little bit later. He said, you got the time right, but you forgot to look at the date. It's next week. So I'm at Farmville. The meeting's next week. So I get my car. I get this call about what's going on. So I leave Greenville and I go to New Bern. So I'm at New Bern helping somebody, and then they get taken to Greenville. And so I leave New Bern and I go to Greenville. I get home at 12 o'clock, and I still don't have my sermon all together for this morning. And so I sit there on the couch, and I keep going to wake myself up. I keep going, bam! Bam! And again, I didn't say, Lord, this is crazy. No, I said, Lord, help me not to grow weary in well-doing. Plus, my dad's home. I don't get to see him but once every couple of months. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 months. He's home, and I was to spend time with him yesterday. I never even saw him. He's going home in a day or two. So again, don't grow weary in well-doing because God's watching. God sees it. Jesus knows what it's all about. Know that at the appointed time, when you do reap, it's going to be worth everything that you went through. Anybody got any thing you want to say about that? Remember, I'm opening up the floor if you want to just say something. Growing weary and well-doing. Okay, we'll move on. I'm not going to grow weary and waiting. How about that? Y'all smile. Here's a good one. Romans 8:18. This is where I found out that Paul was from southern Italy anyway, but you know he was a southerner because he says, starts out this verse with, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The stuff that you're going through now is going to be okay. Yes, it's tough now, but guess what? This suffering is not even comparing to what's coming down the road, what God's going to reveal to us and in us and for us, and what he's going to do for us. Tell yourself this. Confess this. This right now may be tough, but something better's coming down the road. I'm not going to let myself give myself a spiritual concussion. And I'm not going to allow somebody else to give me a spiritual concussion. I know that there may be sufferings now, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. Everything's going to be all right. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, it's like this. You know, I would love when my kids are calling me. You know, y'all watch DC and Daniel. Look like they're doing so good back and forth together, talking back and forth. They're doing little numbers, and they're doing it to y'all, and y'all are doing numbers back and forth. The praise team, everything's looking good. DC and Daniel, they got their act together. Well, y'all didn't know him back when they were learning. And there were some Sunday mornings right in the middle of praise and worship. DC would look at Daniel and say, "That's a three-quarter beat." And Daniel says, "A 4/4 beat." And they get arguing while I'm trying to take prayer requests. And they wouldn't quit arguing. And then one of them said, "Dad, tell him what that is." And I would turn around in the middle of praise and worship and I'd say, "DC, Daniel, go sit down." And they said, "But Dad," I said, "Don't dad me, go sit down." And they go, "But Dad," I said, "No, that's not a place to argue. That's a place to minister. If you're going to argue, go sit down." And they'll tell you, I can only count about five times they finally called on. But again, this stuff we're going through, there's things that we've gone through this week. How many has gone through something this week that you really wish you hadn't had to go through? It's nothing compared to the good stuff that's coming. You got to believe that. If you can't believe that, you're going to talk yourself, you're going to beat yourself in the skull, you're going to give yourself a spiritual concussion. I don't know why I'm going through all this anyway. I don't know why I put up with this. I don't know why I'm going this way. Why am I doing this stuff? Again, there you go. You're giving yourself a spiritual concussion. You're going to find yourself off balance. There's times where you just have to stop and give it to God. God is yours. I can't do anything with it. I tried, God. I can't do a thing with it. It's yours. Take it. And then the hardest thing then is to sit back and wait. To sit back and wait. That doesn't mean not do anything, but that means let God handle the problem. Let him handle it. Do as he opens the door, do something. If he doesn't open the door, don't do anything. When he does open the door, then you move according to how those doors are open. All right? Did that answer your question? Kind of, sort of, maybe if you look in one eye. Right. Well, I want to fix things too. Fix it, people want to fix things. But sometimes we get upset because we can't fix things. And I've learned a long time ago that I can't fix everything. And so I just wait. I give it to God and wait. God, you got to do it. I can sit back and think of times with just in the last few years, things in my family, things all over where things are just totally out of control. And I say, God, you got to handle it. And it's so amazing to watch him fix it. Just like that. Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't really lose them. It all depends what how you're putting that in perspective. But I'm saying is, if you're waiting for God to fix it, God will make up for the years you feel like you've lost. God will make up for it. That's what I'm saying. God has made up for everything I've lost. God has made up for it. God's made up for it one way or another. And I thank him for it. Here's another good one. This one here is hard for us to say. Man, it's hard. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Wow. For our momentary light, or it's actually the word is light push. Now, Paul was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He spent the night hanging on to boards till he could get to land. He had some rough times. He stayed in prison till his eyesight was gone. This man had a rough life, and he calls all of that a light or a small push compared to what God's got for him. Wow. If you can say stuff like that to yourself, if you can say this stuff here to yourself, guess what? Satan is going to be a little bit aggravated with you, and he may even leave you alone for a while. Say this stuff to yourself. Keep it in your mind all the time. Ready? Here it is. Christ Jesus in me is the hope of glory. Christ Jesus in me. The other religions, Muhammad doesn't dwell within people. Confucius doesn't dwell within people. Buddha's not dwelling within people. Jesus is. That's awesome. He's there. He's dwelling within us. He's the hope of glory. I know that right now, there's times When you're getting there and you got your kids arguing, or you come in and you got something going on and you can't figure out why it's going on the way it's going on, again, don't grow weary in well-doing. These sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to me. My light afflictions, but for a moment, works for me a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Jesus Christ in me is the hope of glory. In me. Wow. That's powerful. Whom he justifies, these he also glorified. What does justified mean? Anybody want to hit a shot at it? Justified? Think about this. What if you go to court and they say you're guilty of whatever the crime is, murder, robbing, whatever, you're guilty, then that goes on your record. Now, if they acquit you, there's another way it goes on your record, but if they just take it and throw it all the way out, guess what? It's not even there anymore. Justified means God looks at you, no matter what you did, once you give it to Jesus Christ and say, here, take this, I can't handle it, I blew it, I've sinned, I need your blood to be shed upon this, I need you to apply your blood here. Once you do that, then God looks at you, and to God, it's just as if, or justified, just as if I'd never done it. Just as if I'd never done it. How many here has done things you wish you hadn't done? If you give it to God, guess what? It's just as if you'd never done it. Satan will remind you, but God won't, because God forgave you of it. Whom he justified, he also glorifies, or glorified. So look, God has got us. He's got us. He's got this under control. Don't let Satan play these mind games. Now is my salvation nearer than when I first believed. There's the two parts of that. The first part of salvation is you might be going through something right now and you need God to come through for you on your job or come through for you in your family. And it's closer than it's ever been. But also, you know what? It's getting ready. The rapture is getting ready to take place. And when it takes place, we don't have another thing to ever worry about. Isn't that awesome? Then I have to worry about another thing. Wow. I mean, wouldn't it be something if you heard the rapture trumpet go, doo, 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 and then you heard, bam! Okay. Here's my favorite one. I say it every day, multiple times a day. I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't mean that I can be a center for the New Jersey Nets. That's not what it's talking about. I'll never be a center for the New Jersey Nets. I'm too short. I could be a point guard. Once they saw me play, they wouldn't even let me be water boy. What it means is, when there's a task handed to you, and you know, no matter how it is, if it's on your job, with your family, when your kids are acting up, your husband's acting up, you and him are not getting along good, your wife's acting up, or you're having a problem on your job, or you're having to work where you weren't expecting to work, or how you were expecting to work, I always say this, I can do all things, which means I'm up to the challenge. I'm up to the challenge through Jesus who infuses inner strength. DC's a welder. Frank's a welder. I'm pretty sure there's others here that know about welding. When you do, you take two pieces of metal, but when you're welding, you also put another alloy in there. And so the place where you weld, if you do it right, is stronger than the metal on each side. It's strong. Strong. So the same way, that's what that word means, to infuse an alloy. So God takes you, he takes your problem, and he puts his spirit with you. And guess what? Where that meets is the strongest point. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It also means to infuse inner strength. It's like getting an IV. I'm telling you, have you ever been feeling down and dehydrated? The doctor takes you and gives you an IV, and all of a sudden you start feeling better? Because he's infused inner strength in you. I call Gatorades IVs in a bottle. Because when you're feeling like you can hardly walk, you've got there, you've lost all your electrolytes and stuff in you, start drinking that Gatorade. One Gatorade is like, wow. You know, again, infuses inner strength. I will praise the Lord, my protector. He trains me for battle and prepares me for war. Wow. When you come here on Sunday morning, it's not just about praise and worship or if I can be blessed or who's wearing what. When you walk in, as soon as you get up on Sunday morning, the warfare starts. Satan will give you 100,000 reasons why you should be somewhere else. When you come in here, Satan will try to get your mind divided on everything but what should be going on. And you know what? It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that always does. And I've always noticed that. Here's what I've noticed a lot as a pastor. On certain days or certain times, all of a sudden I'll see maybe 5 or 6 normal people are out, and all that, every last one of them say, well, nobody will miss me. They say the same thing. Well, nobody missed me. Who said that? Here goes that concussion. No. It's very important that we understand when we go to work tomorrow, we're going into battle. We need to be prepared for warfare. When we are trying to even going to the grocery store, there's going to be a battle. Be ready because Satan will attack when you least expect it. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender. I shall never be defeated. Wow. Oh, I have been saying stuff like this to myself for years. I know I told you, but I was telling Daniel. Daniel was in a 3-truck convoy, and his truck got blown up, hit an IED. His truck got blown up, and the guy behind me got blown up when they were pulling out. Daniel said he shot 2 cases of 50 caliber machine gun bullets when they were trying to get out of there. He got out of there. His buddy tried to get out. His front of his car truck was messed up. And these are trucks that are bulletproof. And his buddy's trying to get out of the car and get shot right in the chest. And Daniel's a medic too, so Daniel's trying to help him. And he said, Daddy, he bled out right in my arm, so I'm trying to save him. And I thought about that, and I said, I feel so bad for that family. But at the same time, there's Daniel in the middle of all this, and Daniel walked away. And I said, Daniel, you know I told you every day. He said, Daddy, I know what you're going to tell me. He said, before I left that morning, I said, God, I thank you for divine favor. And I thank you for divine protection. And I know that you're going to walk with me. And everything's going to be okay today. He said, Daddy, every day to my life. He said, I've been saying it. You taught me so young, and I say it every day to my life. You know, yesterday I was listening to DC talk to Sierra in the ball field. And he was trying to tell her, don't break those wrists, don't break those wrists. She struck out. He said, don't break those wrists, don't break those wrists. And she said, Daddy, I know. He said, but then I heard me talking to him. Literally. He said, girl, don't you know that practice doesn't make perfect? Practice makes permanent. He says, doing it right continually makes it perfect. And I went, oh, you go there, David C. Linton Sr. I bet you've been heard that 100,000 times. Again, God, He alone protects. He saves me. He is my defender. I shall never be defeated. I love this one. We all need to be able to say this. Because we had this hope, we were very bold. I'm not worried about losing. I'm not. I'm not going to say that I can't lose. That would be stupid. That would be stupid because we can lose at any time. What I'm saying is I'm not afraid to try because God give us, because of what He's done for us, we can be bold. Don't quit letting the devil give you a spiritual concussion. Have you so scared to try something? So scared to move beyond and watch what God can do because we have this hope. We are very bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, but the unrighteous run. God's got our back. That's right. The hope of conquering every adversary, surmounting every difficulty through the blood of the Lamb. And we have this impenetrable helmet that protects the head against the cleaving blow of the battle axe. Trust God. Quit giving yourself a spiritual concussion. Quit letting Satan give you a spiritual concussion. We win. We win. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, y'all are like a woman in travail, but once a woman has that baby, she forgets all about the pain. And I've seen that firsthand, you know, with DC and Daniel both. After DC, Beverly said, there ain't going to be no more. There was. Because she forgot all about that pain. Because she thought about the joy of having that baby. The same way I've seen people go through things and say, I don't want to ever have to go through this again. But you know what? Then when something comes up, we remember not the pain, but the joy afterwards. And it's awesome. How many here, we're getting ready to close, but how many here, this has been a totally different Sunday night. How many in here would say, Satan and my flesh have tried this week to give me a spiritual concussion? You ain't got to raise your hand. How many in here would say, my thought patterns have been wrong? I'm letting the enemy win. And it's one thing, watch this. It's one thing for it to come here. That's powerful. When it comes through here, you just multiplied it. You can't help thoughts sometimes from popping in your head. But once you start speaking it, you cement that stuff. Once you start speaking it, if you're speaking the negative, you cement negative in your life. If you speak positive, you'll, and when I say positive, I'm talking about the Word of God. When you speak that and put that in your life, it's amazing the difference that it'll make. Matter of fact, you should take some of these scriptures I just showed you and put them up on the wall, put them up in your Bible, put them up somewhere, and daily look at them and begin to say that versus, I'm stupid, I'll never make it, I don't know why God called me, I don't know what's going on in my life, blah, 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 blah. Satan loves that. It's when you stand up and say that stuff, that's when the good stuff takes place. Amen? So now, let's remember the Word of God. Put the Word of God there. Put the Word of God. When you're having negative thoughts, I'll catch myself. There was one time that Linda said something to me about, are you going to go do this? And I really was tired. I was so tired. And Linda said, I forgot what it was. It was nothing to do with y'all at all, but it was something going on. And I said, sometimes when you're really tired, you just get tired of trying to help somebody. They don't want to help themselves, and they're asking for your help, but they really don't want it. And Linda, I said, so I probably won't. You know what Linda said? Wives have a good way for this. She said, I'm pretty sure Jesus felt the same way. I just said, thanks, hon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Give him a car key. Give him my car keys. She was also in a danger zone. Yes. Right.
And
And thank God. Oh, yes. Yes. There you go. Well, see, that's the thing, is if you let these trials, the mighty army today, anybody just get the mighty army can read it to me from today. You didn't get one, I sent them to everybody. You didn't get to you. My app's not working good sometimes. Don't just go through it, grow through it. Every trial has a lesson and a blessing. Don't just go through it, grow through it. That's what Lisa did. That's what Daniel did. I know some other people that were over there. That's what they did. They grew through it. Oh, yes. It's awesome. 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 So now, anybody else? You got any questions, comments? This is not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. This is talk. Confess the word of God daily under your breath, in your mind. Speak it to yourself. Sing it to yourself. There's a difference. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. It's all about what I can get. And that just gets the best of me. But this stuff right here can be handled here. Some of that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. How can you tell somebody's living in a hut and dirt floors? Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. But this stuff right here will work on a dirt floor in a hut. It'll work in the church. It'll work in your house. It'll work in your car. It'll work in the White House. This is good stuff. Confess the word of God. And when you confess that word of God, Patrick and I were walking out of D block Thursday night. And Patrick said, what about that guy? There was a guy that was in suicide watching. I went, well, forgot about him. So we go over there. And we asked him, can we pray with you? Is something we can do for you? And he said, no, I'm Buddhist. And the flesh said, okay, let's go. Yeah, how Buddha working out for you? That's right. Yeah, you and Tiger Woods, y'all go for it. No, Tiger Woods is a Buddhist. Okay. Well, instead of us leaving, we just stopped, stayed there for a minute. And I said, are you sure? And he started crying. And I said, I know you're a Buddhist, but can we pray with you? It's going to be in Jesus' name, but can we pray with you? And he said, yes. Yeah. You know, so instead of just pushing him to the side because he's a Buddhist, he still let us pray in Jesus' name. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And so again, you know, when I go to PCDC, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I'm gonna be able. God's gonna make me able for whatever comes against me this night. Gonna give me the words to say. Gonna help me, and it's just awesome. It's awesome to hear that man in F block and in D block talk to those prisoners. He's got the gift. There's no doubt. I'm asking God when I grow up, I want to be just like him. He's good at it. He's good at it. He tells me I just run in and go, and go on. What does he say? I say, Dominus onus. I'm trying to get, we got so many prisoners to see, and I just wait for somebody to stop me. If they stop me, then I'll stop and talk to them. But I'm not quite like that, Dominus onus, but I am giving them outlines and just give them a quick prayer and keep on going. But he stops, and he really does really, really good. All right, let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Lord, I know that there's so many people that are struggling with what's going on around them, and Satan is playing mind games with them. He knows if he can get them in their mind, he can get them everywhere else. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, not to give our own self a spiritual concussion, not let Satan hit us with that battle axe of doubt, and unbelief. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to stand strong. And when we feel like saying some of that junk that the flesh would love for us to say, help us, God, to talk the Word of God to ourselves, to meditate on it day and night, not to veer from the left or the right, just like you told Joshua, and that you would make our way successful. Success in God's eyes may not be a nice car and a fancy house paid for. Success in God's eyes is doing what He's wanting you to do, and doing it with clarity, and doing it with an anointing, and doing it with power. We thank You for it, Lord. And Lord, just like a couple of weeks ago, God doesn't judge our success by our fruit. He judges our success and our ministry by our faithfulness. Not by our fruit, but by our faithfulness. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, help us to see, to know, to understand, and help us, God, be ready. Because good things are coming our way. I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for the new faces we're seeing in the church. I thank You, Lord, it's going to continue to grow and it's going to continue to abound. I thank You for that too, Lord. I ask You right now, Lord, to help us all pull together, Lord, and fight this battle that Satan tries against us collectively and individually. Fight the battle together. Be able to give each other positive scriptures back and forth that pertain to the situation so that we can stand strong and true to God. Because, Lord, again, I know You're not judging me by the fruit I produce. You're judging me by my faithfulness, because some are only going to produce 2 and some's going to produce 5 and some's going to produce 10. Lord, You're looking at our faithfulness. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Help us come back Tuesday night ready to go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, all right, let's do it. 1, 2, 3 again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Bam! God is good.